Our world is filled with violence. Our world is filled with cancer. Our world is filled with all these things that plague us. But it's not always going to be like that. But for now, we're trying to figure out how to live in this world. Not just live, not just exist, but how to thrive. How to live the way God wants us to live, yes? We ought to be happy. We ought to be out there, and like I said, people ought to look at us and say, man, there is something different about a Christian. There's something different. People ought to be able to say, there is something different about your marriage. And you should be able to say, that's because Jesus is a part of our marriage. There's something different about your spirit. That's because Jesus is my Savior, and I have this peace. And we ought to be able to have that kind of a testimony. And so in order to do that, there are certain principles that we've been talking about. We have 11 principles of hope. That's what you see on your way out every single week, and I have been asked, actually, to reteach those toward the end of this year as we have sort of relaunched our church. And there's the majority of this church, you see those, but you weren't here when I taught those 3 years ago. And so I'm kind of going through those. And today we come to principle number two. And last week we talked about principle number one, which says this. And I hope if you're fairly new, you'll kind of commit some of these to memory, because most of our folks that have been around a while know these. So I'm going to ask all of you to join me as we do principle number one, which begins this way. Jesus loves you just the way, but he doesn't want any of us to stay the way we are. All right, thank you for throwing that up. That's principle number one. But today I want to talk about principle number two. And I want to address what I believe is one of the most common issues. We started with that first principle, that Jesus loves us just like we are. And then he wants us to grow from there. I want to now talk today about a common issue that I think so many struggle with after coming to Christ, after becoming a Christian. And that is, we get that Jesus forgave us for our past life, but we still feel dirty. And even as we go about life, we still feel like, well, yeah, I know I'm forgiven, but I just don't feel like I'm quite right yet. I just still feel like I'm got a lot of this old me still here and some of these things. And I want to address that today. And so the second principle, let me give it to you here. Here's what it says. Principle number two says this. God forgives you the moment you ask him. The moment you ask him. He cleanses you the moment that you let him. Now see, there's two parts to that. The first part is something that we ask God to forgive us for our sins. And again, there's an element of sincerity though. Please don't think that we're one of those I can just sin anyway. I can just live any way I want to. I'll just do what I want because all I have to do is ask forgiveness. And look, God is not that stupid. Okay? And neither are the people around us. By the way, your family's not that stupid either. You know, we can't just that argument, well, I just live any way I want to, because after all I've got to do is ask God to forgive me and I'm good for the day. No, it doesn't. That's God can see through that kind of a motive. That's an insincere apology and all those things anyway. But he does. When we come to him, he forgives us the moment we ask him. But cleansing is not that same way. Cleaning us up is not that way. We're not so quick to accept that part in our lives. And that's the part that God has to wait for us to allow him to do. And that's what I want to talk about today. See, we struggle to understand what God really wants to do in our lives because we expect God to think and to act the way we do. See, when we talk about forgiveness, how many times have you heard somebody say, Christian, say, well, I can forgive, but it's pretty universal, isn't it? Like, well, what we're really saying there is, well, I don't really forgive you. That's translation, that's what we're saying. Translation is, well, I'm going to say that I forgive you, but I'm never going to trust you again. Well, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to say that I'm going to forgive you, but I'm not going to let you be a part of my life anymore. See, that's kind of what that's where we're really at. If we were really honest, that's what we would be saying to one another. And saying, that's what parents would be saying to their children. That's what children would be saying to their parents and people who have hurt and offended us and things like that. What we're really saying is, well, I'm going to say that I forgive you, but I'm not going to take revenge yet. Nobody ever forgets where they buried the hatchet, right? Those of you, you still don't get that. Okay, I guess that's the last time I'll use that. See, that's our human flaw, but we think it's God's flaw also. We think that God forgives us the same way we forgive other people. See, we apply that to God, and we think, well, I know God said he forgives me, but boy, he's not going to forget. I mean, he's just waiting. See, we think I think a lot of times we look at life like we're on a basketball team and we're playing with four fouls. Right? For those of you who don't know that, 5,000, you're out. You foul out. And I think that's the way we live. It's like we live every day with this fear that, man, if I mess up one more time. You know, God, he's forgiven me because he kind of has to. Because he's God. But boy, he looks at me every single day and he sees what I do, and I just feel dirty. So it expresses itself in things like that. We just feel dirty even though we believe we're forgiven. And here's the other thing that we do. Here's the other way it expresses itself in our lives. And here's where I really kind of am going to focus the first part of the message, at least today, on. This is where most of us say, well, I know God's forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. And I want to talk very, very pointedly about that point today. If that's you this morning, I want you to know you're doing a disservice to God. To you, yes, but more so to God. So let me just let that hang there, and now let me build a foundation underneath it. So these are both, this principle then that we're talking about today is really rooted in a Bible verse, and God addresses it very directly. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, this is a verse that I would really like to encourage you to memorize. I mean, I don't memorize things very well, but if you say something over and over and over again to yourself often enough, you'll eventually commit it to memory. This would be a great one to help with these times, especially if you struggle with this feeling like you're always living under this dark cloud. Here's what the verse says. The Bible says this: if we confess our sins, and confess just is a Bible word that just simply means if we tell God what we've done. You say, well, God already knows what I've done. Yes, I know. God already knows what you've done, but we're still supposed to do it. We're supposed to admit it, right? It's like when you, as a parent, when you say to your child, you know what they did because they're still covered in it, but you want them to admit it, right? Not because you need them to admit it, but because they need to admit it, right? So God says, if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there's two words in there that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about several words in this morning. But the thing is, there's two words that we confuse and we sort of don't understand the relationship between. And that's the word forgive or forgiveness and cleansing. And this is what we're going to talk about today. So to try to help, I want to help you with, it would help us to understand really what's going on here if we understood the grammar of it. Now, how many of you liked English in school? Raise your hand. All right, six of you. So, wow. How many of you remember at least, maybe you didn't like it, but you at least remember, you went to a school where they taught you to diagram sentences. But raise your hand. All right, that is the vast majority of the crowd. So, because there were a few people that I've talked with. In fact, Matt made me some great slides here. We're going to look at them in just a minute. He'd never seen that before. He went to a school, of course, he never went past the second grade. But, I'm just kidding. Keep your finger off that button. Get your finger off that button. Somebody get him. So I guess not everybody's done that, but I'm glad most of you have. It really will help us. If you go back to your high school days now, go back to a grammar lesson, we're gonna do some grammar here, and we're gonna figure out exactly what's going on in this verse, and I promise you it will help you to know the difference between forgiveness and cleansing, and to be able to then get past these things that keep us from accepting that cleansing from God. That will help us to get past this thing that keeps us from feeling like we're okay with God, like we are clean. So let me help you with that. So let's begin. Let's just go ahead and throw that first one up, if you would, please. So this is a sentence that we have a subject, which is he. That's talking about God. And the verb is is. That's called a linking verb. It's a verb. You remember this, Mark? I taught you this, didn't I? And it means there's something that's going to follow this verb that renames or describes what God is, not what he does. That would be an action verb. The word is a verb that talks about what he is, his characteristics. So what is God? The Bible says there, he is two things. He is faithful and he is just. Now, I want you to, again, it's not about what he does. You see, if it said God does faithful things, that also implies sometimes he does not do faithful things, right? Or he doesn't necessarily choose, in your case, to be faithful. But that's not what it says, is it? It says he is faithful. Child of God, that means God is always faithful to you. You never have to worry about it. We are not going to be faithful to one another. There are going to be times we fail each other. There's going to be times when we mess up and we hurt people, but God never does that. He is faithful, and he is just. Now, what is he faithful to do? Well, after this, each one of these has what's... You're going to be so impressed here. Are you ready? You're going to go out of here today and you're going to say, yeah, my pastor knows grammar. Yours may know the Bible, but mine knows grammar. Your pastor may be able to sing, but mine knows grammar. This is called an infinitive phrase. You remember this? Ah, right? It's like bang back in old times. Are you feeling scared again? Okay. All right, good. What is he faithful to do? He's faithful to forgive. Now, the word faithful literally means trustworthy. It means he never fails. It's always that way. He always forgives. And that's what the first part of that verse says. This is the part, honestly, that we don't have that much trouble with. We sort of are okay with this part because we know God said that he would forgive us. He said if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. And we usually can always accept that. We can always say, yeah, I know God's forgiven my sins, and I get that. It's the second part. You see, the word faithful is tied to this part, to forgiving. It's the word just that is then tied to the second part, which is, what is he just to do? He is just to cleanse us. Cleanse us from what? From all unrighteousness. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. You see, the word just means righteous. It means holy. He is righteous, and he is holy. And you say, well, that's the problem. Compared to his holiness, his righteousness, man, my unrighteousness just stands out like a sore thumb. Right? This is how we live. See, we think compared to his goodness, my badness is so glaring. Compared to his being so holy and pure, my filthiness is so pronounced. Can I give you a wonderful truth here? Please hold on to this truth if you would. Jesus' righteousness isn't there for us to compare our unrighteousness to. His righteousness is there to balance out the scales of justice for our unrighteousness. Let me say that again. His righteousness is not there for us to compare to. He's not saying, hey, check me out. Now, how you doing? Jesus said, no, Jesus' righteousness is there to balance out my unrighteousness. That's what the word just means. You see, he's righteous and he balances out the scales. That means, that's where the verses, like when we say, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what that means? That means no matter how much we sin, no matter how much sin there is in my life, no matter how much unrighteousness there is in my life, he has more righteousness than we have unrighteousness. Now, some of us, that's hard to take. But think about what you're saying otherwise. If you say, well, his righteousness can't balance out my unrighteousness, what you're saying is he's not righteous enough. Now, would you dare stand up and say that now? Of course not. But that's what you say when you live every single day like your scale's not been balanced. When you say things like, well, I can forgive these people, but I can't forgive myself. What you're saying is you are worse in unrighteousness than he is good in righteousness. When we look at it that way, it's a little different story, isn't it? If we're not careful, there's a little selfish element that comes in to our lives when we choose to hang on to some past things. So what's the problem here? Why can't God truly cleanse us then unless we let him? Well, there's something, or why is it that we don't let God take that away? Why do we not let God take away our guilt? Why don't we let God clean us up to where we can feel clean? There's just some weird thing about people that we resist being clean. You ever watch a mother try to wipe the nose of a four-year-old? I mean, snot going everywhere, and they're just a mess. And that mom gets down there with a tissue, and what does that kid do? Why? We don't like to be cleaned up. God bless you, parents. You parents of babies, our nursery workers, how many of you work in our nursery? Okay, shame on the rest of you. So, just kidding. Not really. God bless you all. I would clean 1,000 toilets with my bare hands before wanting to change a dirty diaper. I'm serious. I know some of you mothers, you say, oh, it's okay, I don't mind. You are weird. And look, you can love your child, That's still gross. That's beyond gross. So, I don't know where I was going with that. I just had that thought. No, my point is, you know, and a lot of times babies fight that, don't they? They scream and they kick and all that stuff. But you do it anyway because it's necessary. But see, God won't force that upon us. Even when we resist Him, like a 4-year-old resisting having his face cleaned up, there's just something about that we would almost rather, it almost seems like we would rather stay dirty than to let God clean us up. We would almost rather continue to live with guilt than to let God take it away. We would almost rather live feeling like there's this I'm always not good enough than to accept God saying, but you are now good enough because I was good enough. So why is it that we do that? And what do we do about it? Why do we resist letting God cleanse us? Well, I believe there's two reasons why we refuse to let God clean us. I believe there's two reasons why we refuse to let God take away our guilt, to let God take away those things that plague us every day and make us think badly about ourselves and all those things. Now, here's what they are. I'm going to give them to you and just have 2 points to share with you, and then we're done. Number one, the first reason why we don't let God clean us up is because we don't think we deserve to be clean. Now, let me just set the record straight right from the start. That is correct. We don't. We don't. We don't deserve to be clean. But let me tell you this, please. God does deserve to have a clean child. God deserves to have a clean child. Every mother in this room, when you took you didn't mind your children playing and getting dirty, but when you would take them out places, you wanted them to be clean, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. That you know, good moms do that. If you don't do that, you end up with kids like Josh. So, just kidding. See, which Josh? Yeah, either one, pick one. You end up like Harold. Look, but see, we don't think we deserve to be clean. But Jesus deserves to have, for us to accept what He wants, what He did for us. You know, so let me just get real frank this morning. That baby thing I talked about, that diaper, that stinks. That's why it's so horrible. It stinks. And dirty kids stink. All right, let's pray and go home. No, I'm just kidding. But they do. Look, if you're holding a baby, you grandma, even AJ can't be here today, but even AJ, the grandmother of all grandmothers, loves the babies like nobody else does. I guarantee you, if she's holding a baby that stinks of a dirty diaper, she's not just going to sit there and hold that baby. She's either going to give it back to its mom or she's going to change it, right? Because nobody wants to smell a stinky baby. Thank you, Sherry. And God doesn't want His kids to stink either. See, God wants to be close with His kids too. The sin that we continue to keep holding around with us, the memories of that sin, that guilt, and that I refuse to forget, the Bible calls it a stinking savor, actually. There's actually a Bible word. It says, in the nostrils of God, that is so repulsive. Now look, He forgave us, and He wants to get rid of the stink. Okay? But we won't let Him. He said, I want you to be clean. I've made it all possible for you to be clean. I've made it possible. I paid the ultimate price, so you don't have to stay that way. Why do you keep holding on to that guilt? Why do you keep talking to me? You know, every time God hears us pray the same prayer about the same sins from our past, do you know that stinks in His nose? Think about it. Every time you say, oh God, I know you said you'd forgive me, but I still feel bad about this thing that I did, and I'm asking you again to forgive me, and God's going, man, can we not just get rid of that? Can we not just get that out of your, let me clean you up. You know I've already forgiven you, but you keep bringing it up. We're waving it in His face. Wasn't there? Some of you are going, well, that's what I do all the time. Yeah, I've done that too. But he said, I don't want to smell that anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want you feeling it anymore. I don't want you talking about it. I don't want you looking at it. We talked last night about anxiety, and anxiety is one of those things where God in his prescription for it. And if you weren't here, I would encourage you to try to read Philippians chapter 4, where he said there are things you ought to think about, and some of those things you ought to think about are things that are good, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are clean. He says stop thinking about all those things that are dirty. And every time we bring that stuff up and we live like that and we keep talking to ourselves about I did this and I hate myself for doing this and I did, and Jesus is saying, but I died, I already forgave you for that. Get rid of that. Why are you waving that in my face? But Jesus, it was so horrible what I did. Why are you waving that in my face? I died so you don't have to live like that. If you confess your sins, I'm faithful. Jesus talking. I'm faithful to forgive you. I'm also just. I've got all the righteousness to balance that out. You don't have to worry about it. The scale has been balanced. Why do you keep trying to add more onto it? Why do you keep trying to, every time we live with that dark cloud, every time we say it, every time we talk about it, every time we think about it, every time we live in that, we're adding more to that scale. He's got plenty of righteousness to cover it up, but why should he have to? When he said, get rid of it. Let me clean you up. Hold still. Hold still. Let me clean you up. Because you stink. Actually, well, you do stink. Your sin stinks. And as long as you keep it, you stink. But you know, it doesn't have to be like that. So the first thing is we don't think we deserve to be clean. Secondly, let me give you another one. Here's the second reason. Second reason is I'm not sure that some of us want the pressure to stay clean. Now listen, you like that part. You won't like this part so much. We don't want the pressure to stay clean. You know, there is something about this summertime. Boy, it's been a hot, humid summer, hasn't it? Now, I say that, like, what kind of summer did you expect? But hot and humid, you know, we get out there, you work out in your yard. I don't work in the yard. You work in the yard. You get out there and you plant those flowers. Oh, my. All the things in the world you could be doing. You plant those flowers. You get in there, you stick your hands in that dirt. You know, when you're out there working in that, the dirt really doesn't bother you, right? Because you're already in it. You got your hands in it already. But you come in and take a shower. Isn't that an amazing feeling to come in, take that shower, and you are clean? And that feels amazing. You know, the last thing you want to do is go back out and get in that dirt. See, while we're dirty, dirt doesn't bother us. And I think some of us realize, if I let God clean me up, I might want to go back and see a little bit more porn. I don't want to feel bad about it. I just stay dirty. It's not going to bother me so much. Thank you, because I was going to have to come down there and do it. Well, I might want to go back to that bad habit. I might not want to just get that completely out of my life. See, we think that if we let God clean us up, now the pressure's on, I can't ever do those things again. And we are not, and there are some things in our lives that certainly should go away, yes? But that's not what this is really all about. Letting God clean you up today doesn't mean that you have to stay perfectly clean. You know, this world, I read something this week. I was thinking about this, I did a little research because I've heard about, you know, God made us that we are continually getting dirty. We're continually defiled by life. Did you know that the average person loses 8 pounds of dead skin cells every year? And a lot of that is in your bed. You don't change your sheets every day, which it don't. Yeah, I was going to say it. I almost said, how many of you change your sheets every day? Liar! No way do you do that. Nobody's got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. So but that means you get out of that shower at night, you feel so clean. You slide into that bed. You're already dirty. You're already dirty. Listen, please listen. Nobody stays clean for very long. See, this verse isn't about salvation. This is not a verse that talks about being clean from a standpoint of being saved and going to heaven, becoming a Christian. This is about an everyday, This is talking about every single day, ordinary life. We get dirty. Life dirties us. Now, there are some times where we get into it more. You know, we, as I said, it's easy. You know, when you're already dirty, it's pretty easy to, it doesn't bother you as much. You ever notice how kids, well, do you ever notice how we don't even smell ourselves? Now, seriously, if you had a bunch of garlic for lunch, isn't it funny how you walk up to people and they say, oh, how you doing? Whoa! How do you live? Like, what did you eat? What died in your mouth? And what? What? See, we don't, it doesn't smell bad to us. It doesn't smell bad to us. There's something about that. And it's the same way with our sin. If we live in it, if we don't want God to clean, see, if I don't let God clean me up, it's not going to bother me to do that again. Nearly as much. And we think, if I let God clean me up and I actually feel clean, I actually say, okay, I'm going to accept this. I'm going to accept the fact that God has not only forgiven me, but he has taken away the history of what I've done. He's taken away as far as the east is from the west, he's put my sins away from me. If I do that, then I got to stay clean. Because after all, if I get dirty, I'm going to disappoint him. You know, I think the fear of getting dirty again and disappointing God is stronger than the fear, the uncomfortableness of just staying dirty sometimes. But God is trying to say to us, look, I made your bodies where they shed dead, dirty, rotting skin cells every day. Every day. Some of you just can't get past that, can you? You just can't get past that illustration. You won't remember anything else I said today, but you're going to go home and you're going to change your sheets. That ought to make some of you think twice about a hotel room. Or swapping sides with your partner on the bed. Yeah, that's where the whole, this is my side comes from. Don't come across this. I've so totally lost control. Am I anywhere even close in my notes here? Look, you know, listen, and this is the point. You know, nobody in the world, see, once you get clean and you know what it feels like, you don't want to get dirty again. But that's one of the reasons some of us don't want to do that. You know, nobody hates himself more than the addict in relapse. Am I right about that? Because they got clean and felt so good, and then they feel like they've disappointed everybody again. And this sense of shame. And may I say to you, if you have any issue, I don't care whatever the addiction is. Again, everybody's got something. If you don't think you got an addiction, look in the mirror. But you know, there's this. We think there's this shame that comes with relapse. For example, when we go back, that means for those of you who don't know, that means the addiction. We were clean for a while, got away from it for a while, and then went back to it and did it for a week. Yes, we're going to feel shame from us, but God wants to cleanse us from that just like the first time. Just like the first time. And being afraid to let God take that away because I just don't want to disappoint him again. I don't want to disappoint my family again. I don't want to disappoint. If you stay dirty, you stink in God's eyes, in God's nose. He would rather clean you up every single day. We say, well, isn't God going to get tired of me coming back to get cleaned up every day? I don't know. Do you get tired of your children needing cleaned up every day? When John was a boy, was he dirty? Was he a dirty kid? Yeah, on occasion. Yeah. Did you not allow him to play out in the dirt? Because he did? Yeah, he got to play. Because that's what kids do. The greatest gift my parents ever gave to me was a dirt pile. I'm serious. My dad had a big load of dirt delivered into our yard. I don't have any idea why. He was probably going to spread it somewhere, but that's all. I played with that. That was Mount Suribachi. I mean, I had little green army men all over that thing and firecrackers and blowing holes in the side of that thing. It was the most awesome, awesome summer of my life. What was I talking about? Dirty? Yeah. Yeah, my mother was a wonderful mother. She said, you know, she just came in. She said, go take a bath. She didn't mind that. God doesn't mind cleaning us up every day. See, this is not about our salvation. This is about our every single day living with Him. We get dirty every single day. Should we try to stay clean? Sure. Should we try to get some? Sure. Absolutely. And He will help us to do that. But in the meantime, He doesn't want us to constantly live feeling dirty. And He said, come to me every day. Every day. Let me clean you up. Don't live with that guilt anymore. You're not carrying around the dirt you from... Okay, I'm not still dirty from when I was a boy. I don't have... No, that's not bad. This is only last week's dirt. Oh, we're videotaping now, aren't we? Well, that's going to show up someday, like on an anniversary. Yeah, with Roy back. I'm not carrying around the dirt from when I was a kid. Why are you carrying around the dirt from when you were a teenager? Hey, husband, why are you carrying around that dirt from that time 5 years ago when you were unfaithful? Why are you carrying around that dirt, ma'am, from that time that you were an alcoholic, but you are free now 3 years from that? Why are you carrying around that thing that you did that nobody here knows about? That thing you did? Look, your shoes are tied. Look up. Your shoes are fine. Lift your head up. You're a child of God. And He's cleaned you from that. You don't live there anymore. That's not your address anymore. What you did as a teenager, that thing that you're so ashamed of, let it go. Because He said, I'm not only faithful to forgive you, but I'm also just. I balanced that out a long time ago. You let that stink go away. You walk out of here as a child of God, not only forgiven, but also clean. That's what He wants from us. Isn't God going to get tired of it? Isn't God going to get tired of every single day? I have to come to Him and say, God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. You know, the book of Lamentations, I think it's chapter 33, says, His mercies are new every day. Great is thy faithfulness. That's what the Bible says. That's what God said about Himself. He said, I've got new mercies every day. When you woke up this morning, you know what God had waiting for you? Brand new mercy. Here you go. Here you go. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, He's going to say, today's a brand new day. Got brand new mercies for you. Whatever happens today, I got it covered. I've already got it covered before you even do it. Now, that's not an excuse. Again, please, here, you get the balance, right? I don't have to spend another 25 minutes talking about the fact that we're not supposed to just use that as a license to sin, right? Ken's going, heck no. No. He just wants us to be clean. And He just wants to do it. But we have to let Him. So when you don't want to forgive your sin, when you don't want to forgive yourself, what you're really saying is either Jesus doesn't deserve to have a clean child, or His righteousness isn't enough. Can you say either one of those? Are you willing to keep saying either one of those? And you have only one option, and that is to say, thank you, Jesus, for cleaning me and taking that away from me. And I'm not going to live there